Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
It was almost dawn. A bird started to call from the church roof, and Tara could see the outlines of her apartment buildings opposite the road. It seemed like the beginning of just another day, but she had crossed a bridge that had collapsed after her. She sat spent, her tears dried up. She had to go back home to her broken life. She had nowhere else to go. She pulled herself up and walked slowly out of the church compound. Her head throbbed with dull pain. The events of the night had triggered a migraine attack. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. And today I'm talking to Veena Rao. In Purple Lotus, her debut novel, a woman who was raised by her grandparents after her parents moved away to Dubai has finally been married in an arranged marriage to a successful engineer. Nearing 30, she's already past the optimal age for women, and her father refused to pay a dowry, so her chances had already been limited. After the elaborate marriage ceremonies, her new husband goes back to Atlanta and leaves Tara to be torn by the community's disapproval. When 3 years later he finally sends her a ticket to join him, her husband turns out to be dismissive, patronizing, and even abusive. But leaving a husband is not accepted in the closed Indian community in which Tara was raised. How much abuse will she endure before finally putting an end to it? Hi, Veena. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Galeeb. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So how did this lovely book come about?
Like my protagonist, Tara, I come from a patriarchal culture, and I have experienced firsthand how patriarchy can affect interpersonal relationships and also just the way you view yourself. So it was very important for me to write about a woman who is broken, fearful, who is conditioned to believe she is weak, like she has no control over her life, because at some point I was this woman. So my own life's journey, especially in the past two decades as an immigrant in the American South, has been a journey towards self-awareness where I had to learn to overcome my own fears and vulnerabilities and embrace myself, so weaknesses and all. So this is something I wanted to explore in my novel. And I also wanted to explore what abuse would do to a woman who already has a weak sense of self, who already struggles with deep-rooted abandonment fears. How would she find the courage to break free, to gently rebuild her life, and to find lasting happiness? And secondly, I see incidents of abuse around me all the time in my day job as a journalist, here in the Indian American community, as well as the larger Atlanta community. And I believe domestic violence transcends race, time, and culture. But there are some cultural distinctions that determine how much freedom a woman has to change her circumstances. In patriarchal cultures, such as the one I grew up in, the burden is always on the woman to try harder, to make her husband happy, just to accept her destiny. And if the victim does manage to leave, she is shunned by her community or she has to live with labels. So I believe my novel takes a universal theme and attempts to tell it from the unique perspective of an Indian immigrant woman.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain the significance of the title, Purple Lotus, and how is that connected to your protagonist?
Right. So actually, when I sat down to write Purple Lotus, which was in 2009, almost 12 years ago, I didn't have a story. I sat in front of a blank Word document, and the first thing I typed was Purple Lotus, the title. I guess it's because the lotus is in Indian and Buddhist, Hindu and Buddhist traditions, the lotus is such a beautiful symbol of rising above one's circumstances. A lotus grows in the slush, in muddy waters, but it grows unblemished, pure and beautiful toward the sun. So I guess I knew what the trajectory of the story would be. And also the purple lotus, the purple colored lotus is considered rare. And it's a symbol of self-awakening. So I guess I knew what the story would be, sort of, but I didn't have the story. And that was something I had to teach myself to write. I don't have an MFA or a writing degree, so I had to teach myself to write fiction as the story evolved.
Your training is as a journalist.
Right, yes. I trained as a journalist in India.
Ah, okay. So can you say more about the social and religious conventions of Tara's community?
Yes. I think this is a classic example. Tara's community, she comes from a small coastal town called Mangalore. And I am also from the same place. So I think this is a community where patriarchy comes into play in almost every aspect, every sphere of life. And that's what you see in all her relationships with her parents, where the mother doesn't have a say. When the father calls her to Dubai, she has to leave. The father decides that Tara would be left behind because of, school. She has to go to school. And so the mother has no say in the matter. So Tara is left behind. And then later, an adult Tara, once she gets married, once again, it's an arranged marriage, right? So an arranged marriage, let me make it clear, it's not always bad. It can be a bit like a dating website, except it's your family that vets the guy. Your parents do the background check. You don't know the guy initially, but you meet and get to know each other, and you have the final say in accepting or rejecting the guy. So this is how an arranged marriage works these days. But this wasn't always the case. My mother, for example, had no say in the matter. She didn't get to even meet my dad before her wedding. And I know of friends of my generation here in Atlanta who only got to see a photo of their future husband. So that would never work these days. And because, young women these days are financially independent. They know what they want out of life. So arranged marriage is not bad if you have the choice to make the final decision. And also if the choice, if this is not forced on you, when it is not a matter of blackening your family's name when you marry outside your immediate community. And that still happens here in the immigrant community here in Atlanta and around the U.S. Yes.
So now Tara is living with her grandparents in Bangalore. Mm-hmm. Why do they prevent her from playing with the little girl around the corner?
Zeenat, yes. It's because of two reasons. Back in the 70s, Tara comes from a high caste Hindu family. Hindu community. So there are two reasons why she's not allowed to play with Zeenat. One is Zeenat is poor. She comes from a poor family. She's illiterate, so she could be a bad influence. Indian society is very classist, very class conscious. So this matters a lot, even now, even today, even here. And I'm sure that's pretty much universal, isn't it? But the second reason is also because Zeenat belongs to a Muslim community. And back in the 70s, when, the scene is set in the 70s. So back in the day, Muslims were not allowed into high class in Hindu families. And that's the two reasons why Tara is not allowed to play with Zeenat.
So Tara was raised as a Hindu, and much of what she learns seems important to her even as an adult. Why was she sent to a Christian school?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, yes, because Christian schools are always better. there's this tradition which started early in the 20th century. You know, Christian institutions came up with good schools all over the country. So it's a matter of prestige to send your child to a Christian school run by missionaries or by Christian nuns. But that would be the extent of your intermingling. It did not cross over to being able to marry into the community, or you could have friendships as long as they were equal to you economically.
When Tara's doll is lost, why don't the parents replace it? It seems like they could have saved her quite a lot of trauma.
I believe it's something that never occurred to them. Back in the 70s, India was not as materialistic, I would say, as they are now. And even just, the doll that Tara has lost, Pinky, it's an imported doll. So it's not something that would be easy to replace, I would imagine.
Yeah. Maybe. Why did Tara's parents marry her off to someone that they really didn't know at all?
Because that's what happens in Indian society in an arranged marriage. As long as the family, you know the family somewhat, there are some connections, social connections, and, a guy who works in the U.S., is a prized catch, as they would say it back in India. It would mean that you are your life is going to get better economically, financially. You're going to have a comfortable life, and that's what many parents even now. That's what they aim for. They look for somebody who is in the U.S. or in the West that would assure your daughter a comfortable life. Other things don't matter, of course, to them.
So Sanjay is her husband. Does he have any redeeming qualities?
Yes. Redeeming quality. Sanjay has, I did not have the opportunity to explore why he is the way he is as a writer, because, the story is told from the point of view of Tara. So we only get to see Sanjay from Tara's point of view. But I think his redeeming quality is that he's not he tries to understand her in the beginning, tries to get her food, things that she's comfortable with. But other than that, I don't think he's a classic example of patriarchy at play.
I get it. When Tara was a little girl, her uncle was diagnosed as schizophrenic. And the grandparents and the parents continue to allow her to be in that possibly dangerous situation. I wonder if you can address how that's treated, how that was treated in India, what was the situation for somebody who had mental illness, etc.
Right. Yes. So Tara's uncle's character, Uncle Anand, is based on my own uncle, Prakash. Yes, who was one of the nicest, kindest, gentlest people I knew until he fell victim to the voices in his head. Although I was not abandoned, none of us were as children, we did get to live with my grandparents and my uncle for a while, with my mother and her three children. And we got to see how, the sense of fear and the sense of shame we lived with during your entire childhood. It wasn't just his family, my uncle's family, but the entire extended family that somehow were influenced by his mental illness. So I guess the journalist in me wanted to create grounds for a healthy conversation around this topic. I think we need to talk more about mental illness without feeling any sense of shame or even fear.
How would you compare the communities in their addressing the issue of mental illness Bangalore and Atlanta?
Oh, I think even here there's some sense of shame, right? Mm-hmm. About mental illness and especially, stuff like depression and anxiety. Nobody wants to talk about it or address it, although that's changing now. Something like a psychotic illness, I think it's pretty much the same everywhere. Nobody wants to talk about it. And I think we need to create safe spaces for conversations around this.
Mm, interesting. I agree with you. This was interesting to me that we talked about the little girl that Tara wasn't allowed to play with, but now she gets a little older and she's allowed to go every day to play at Annette's house.
Yes.
What was the difference? Because Annette's also of a different religion. Mm-hmm. Is it because she was the same class, or why was she allowed to play with Annette?
Yes. She was allowed to play with Annette because, class. She's from an upper class, right? That's something to strive for, from Tara's parents' perspective. They're an upward mobile family. So Tara comes from an upper class family economically. So that's something that was allowed. Even for us growing up, we had friends from all communities, as long as they were of the same status. Now, Zeenat, the Muslim girl, she was illiterate, and she comes from a poor family. So, that's the reason she wasn't allowed to play with her.
What if there had been children at the school that were of a different class? Were the parents concerned about that?
Tara does not have any friends. Right. But yes, when I was growing up, we were allowed to have friends. But once again, friendships, they ended at school. Nobody came home until we grew up. Once we were in college, then it was fine. Class and race didn't actually matter after that.
Mm-hmm. Can you say something about Tara's neighbor and about the women who ultimately rescue her? I'm talking about in Atlanta.
Oh, yes. Well, they are my favorite characters. Now, you have Ruth Murphy and Dottie Payton, the American strangers who rescue Tara. They're based on my own friends, Frances West and Nancy Hayden, who have been my rock stars, my rocks through my journey here in Atlanta. So it gave me great pleasure to fictionalize them as Ruth and Dottie.
Hold on a second. So are your real friends as wonderful as Ruth and Dottie? Do they help everybody?
Wow. They're even more wonderful, yes. And I met them in exactly the same, not exactly the same way, but through the clothes closet that they managed across the road. That's where I met them in 2001. And they've been wonderful. They've been really wonderful. And there's one scene in the book where Tara learns to drive and she fails the driving test 6 times. And then she gets her license at the 7th attempt. And then she goes to a pawn shop to get a car for herself, right? So that's something that actually happened to me. And it was
my friend. You failed 6 times?
Yes. I was terrified of driving. And for the first 5 years in this country, I relied on others to take me from point A to point B. And then I decided to learn to drive because my life was getting more difficult. And that's, yeah. And then it took me 6 attempts. And at the 7th attempt, I got my license. And my friend, Frances West, who's been fictionalized as Ruth, she took me to a pawn shop. And we bought a car for $650. Yes. And my little two-door Mitsubishi Lancer, it helped me hone my driving skills in the back roads of Atlanta. And the very first time I took it on the interstate, on the I-85 interstate, was to load up my car with copies of the new publication I had just founded. And Frances was with me. So yes, my friends have been my rocks through my entire 20 years in this country.
Wow. Now, who was her neighbor? Did you have a best friend who was a hairdresser?
No, I think Eliona, the Russian hairdresser friend, she is bits of all my friends here. She's an amalgamation of all my friends in Atlanta. And I have plenty of many friends from all over the world who've been extremely nice to me. And we are a family. We're an international family here.
That sounds wonderful. Why is Tara so quick to be jealous?
Yes. I think that has to do with her deep-rooted abandonment fears. Well, I wanted to clearly define why the adult Tara is the way she is. She is insecure, jealous. And I think it's because of the way she grew up. Her parents left her behind, but they took her baby brother with them when they went to Dubai to create a new life for themselves. So that deep-rooted fear of the loss of a family, the loss of happiness, that has stayed with her all her life. And that has affected her, and it has manifested itself as abandonment fears. And that, I think that explains why she feels jealous.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Vina, you used your personal stories and friends in your life. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you're working on something new, and are you basing it on anybody in particular?
I am working on something new, but I'm not basing it on anybody. It's going to be set in small town Georgia. Rural Georgia, and once again, it's going to have an immigrant heroine. But it will talk about contemporary issues like racism, rise of nationalist sentiments, and just the feeling of, feeling othered. That's what the book is going to be about, but it's still in my head. I hope to start working on it soon, later this year.
I want to know if the title already appeared to you.
No. Maybe this time I'll have a better, I'll have an outline, and I know how to, write a story, I hope, because the last experience was a pretty messy experience. It took me so many drafts and so many attempts and so much of rejection to get Purple Lotus out.
That sounds about right, though. It sounds like the way it often is. It was so lovely talking to you today, Vina. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun. Thank you, Billit.
And thank you for joining me. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series and host for New Books and Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I've been talking with author Vina Rao about her novel, Purple Lotus. Hope all of you listeners are able to lose yourself in a good book today, and tomorrow too. Happy reading.